Welcome back to the next installment of Out of the Bullpen Podcast. I'm your co-host, Tommy Walter, at Mr. Tommy Walter on Twitter.
And I'm his co-host, Josh Wilburn, at Mr. 30-something.
And today, we have a very special guest, my co-Hall of Famer. He headlined the first annual class of the Heels and Quads Wrestling Podcast Hall of Fame, my good friend and Red Sox fan.
Boom.
At Robert Lemons on Twitter, Robert Bunny Lemons.
I'm back!
You always gotta do that one.
Well, I mean, well, the fact that I'm rarely ever on, which, by the way, I gotta give a shout out to the new girlfriend, Chastity. Tommy has met her. I told her I'd give her a shout out, but she was asking today, she's like, so how many podcasts have you done? And I was like, I don't know, like 5.
You've done more than 5.
So, but no, she, I told her I'd tell her hello. Guilty.
Well, we'll do one better and never have her on.
Well, unless she's a Yankees fan, and then in that case.
Who is she a fan of? Who's her team, Robert?
In baseball, she's kind of up for grabs. So.
Oh, okay. So we can still persuade her to turn to the dark side.
Well, right. So she is a Chiefs fan and okay. An Ohio State Buckeye fan. Don't ask.
Oh, yeah. That's all over the place.
Whoa. Yeah. Kind of a hot mess when it comes to sports teams. So.
Okay. Well, I wanted to open it up with some Yankees bullshit as usual, because me and Josh are both Yankees fans. So more injuries for the Yankees. What is this?
Will they ever fucking stop?
What does this stem from? Is it too much spring training? Is it not enough spring training? Are they not getting enough workouts in the off season? What do you guys think? What's the problem?
I think it's just shitty luck, personally. I mean, just freak accidents. I mean, you don't want to think it's not enough conditioning or something at a professional level like that.
Well, it's better than your team being an absolute shit show, because your pitchers only pitched 3 fucking innings the entire spring training. So, yeah, I don't think there's a way to measure that. But who was it a couple of years ago that it was the same problem? It wasn't the Yankees. It was somebody. I can't think of who it was.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who it was. I feel like it was a National League team.
It was a National League team, but it was like their entire opening day roster was at least on the injury list like half the year.
What are the Dodgers? Yeah,
it may have been last year, was it?
Might have been.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know.
I think you might be on to something.
But that contributed to their slow start.
And I mean the Yankees aren't off to necessarily a slow start, because I mean the young kids have came up and, you know, did a great job. But it's stressful as a fan to sit back and watch, you know what you have on the IL. You know the players, the caliber of players you have on the IL. So it's stressful to sit there and watch.
Well, I mean, there's no timetable for Stanton to come back anytime soon either.
No. And, well, we got Urshela back, so that was a quick one.
Yeah, we should have Frazier back as soon as his 10 days is up.
Yeah. And LeMahieu was available to pinch hit today, but they didn't use him, which was smart.
Yeah, he'll be back in lineup, I imagine, Friday. Yeah.
You know what's crazy, though, to even speak about the whole injury list is, you know, like with the Red Sox, I follow the minor league system, and obviously Michael Chavis is up right now and doing some great stuff. But, like, does it feel weird to you to kind of see that transition of the roster and kind of how, where they're going? Because, you know, coming up through the leagues, you know, Dylan Betances, you know, you had Clint Frazier, you had all those other guys. But some of these guys, you know, weren't even on your radar within the last 2 years. I mean, maybe they were on yours, but not necessarily mine, because I do follow the minors a little bit. But
like Talkman and Ford and those kind of guys.
Yeah.
That you knew they were, like, people like me, and I'm sure Josh keeps up with the minor league system as well, but – like, if it's your team and it's your minor league system, you're going to keep up with it. But the everyday MLB fan is not going to know who these people are.
Right.
But then you had people like Robinson Cano that came up through the system, and you had people like, I can't even think of the names right off my head, like Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. Like, you knew, even the outside person like me knew, but with some of these names that are coming up right now, it's like, where the hell did they get this guy from?
Right, yeah.
And that's the one
good thing about the Yankees right now is their farm system is so deep.
And it's because of all those trades from the 2 years that you guys basically stocked your farm system from trades.
A lot of the dealings with the Cubs when they won the World Series for Chapman and whenever we got rid of
Andrew Miller, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, Andrew Miller, when he went to the Indians. We got a lot of guys for that, too. So
yeah, Cashman has done excellent at starting the farm system.
Finally.
Yeah, it took him 20 years.
It only took him 20 years.
Yeah, but with the way that Major League Baseball is going, once people come up for free agency when they're 30 and 32 years old, nobody's spending money on them anymore. They're investing in the farm system, which is a complete opposite of what it used to be.
And it's weird, and we talked about this either last week or the week before, maybe both weeks, I'm not sure, but talking about guys that are still sitting on, you know, waiting for a phone call.
Craig Kimbrell is who you were thinking of the other day.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the show, Robert.
Thank you.
I was one of the six listens. You're welcome.
Dude, as soon as we hung up the call, it came to me and I was like, motherfucker. Like, I hate that. It was such a solid show and we had that one slip up.
Yeah. I was screaming it the entire time. I was like, Craig Kimbrell, you dipshit.
Hey, we don't know our Red Sox bullshit.
Oh, man. So, the Yankees are 11-4 since the show started, so we got to credit ourselves as well as the young guys coming up. We're did a 6-3 on the West Coast swing. Now we head back to New York. Finally. So, CC got his 3,000th strikeout last night, but he still sits at 247 wins.
I think he gets the 250 before the season's over.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, barring any unfortunate incidents where he goes to the IL like everybody else seems to, I can see that happen. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it always used to be you had to get to 300 wins to be a bona fide Hall of Famer. And I don't think there's any question that CC will be a Hall of Famer.
Is he a first ballot or second?
I think he's first ballot.
Take your Homer hat off.
it's off. You're probably not going to see many pitchers get to 300 wins in this era.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think you got to kind of get rid of the 300. I think now you're looking more like 200 wins. Obviously CC and probably Justin Verlander might get there, but as far as today's MLB. I think 200 is what they're going to be more eyeballing.
And that 3,000 is the 3,000 mark destined?
I think the 3,000 is like, there's only 17 players ever do it.
Three lefties.
Yeah, but with the way that 15
of those
are
in the Hall of Fame, and the only two that aren't in the Hall of Fame are Roger Clemens and Curt Schilling.
But you got to look at it this way, too, with the way that the league dynamics are going. It's either hit a home run or strike out. So those strikeout numbers, you know, the 3,000 may be a benchmark, but is it going to be a benchmark 10 years from now? Is it going to be 3,500? Is it going to be?
That could be
that's
true.
That's true.
And actually, we can go ahead and hit this subject while we're on that topic, the National League going to the DH format.
It's only a matter of time.
I mean, they've been talking about it for years, but it seems I'm hearing more noise about it now than I have since they started discussing it more recently.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of hope they don't personally, just because it makes it kind of more special when they go to, you know, NL or AL parks. But
I think during the World Series, they should do away with it. I think that's where they should start playing with it, is in the playoffs at the World Series.
So you don't think they should do it in the regular season?
I don't, just simply because of the baseball purist. I mean, it differentiates the league from American League, which is hit it out of the park. But National League is vastly becoming the same way. But on the other hand, you still have that purist. You still have the differentiation of the leagues. And I think if you make it, if you make it all in one, I mean, baseball's really the only sport that differentiates the rules from one league to the next. You know what I'm saying? Like NFL, you know, absolutely. the AFC and the NFC, there's no difference. It's the same thing in basketball. There's no difference. But I think if you, you know, it goes back to the purists, but you know, with the way that the commissioner's going, I can't even think of his name right offhand. It's not Bud Selig. What's the guy's name?
You put me on the spot. I can't think of his
fucking name.
It's not Bud Selig, is it?
No.
He was the one before.
I know it's Adam Silver in basketball. But,
yeah.
Somebody look it up real quick.
Yeah, someone's screaming at the podcast. But with the way that they're doing things, and you know, adding the extra wild card game and the play-in game and stuff like that, you can kind of see that it's coming. And in the pitching, like
it's Rob Manfred.
Rob Manfred, yeah. And it's kind of like you guys were talking, you know, last week about the pitching clock and how that's coming. And I mean, that was the first game that I went to this weekend when I went to the Razorback game in college. They had the 20-second pitch clock.
Oh, and they're doing it in college already?
Yeah, they had a 20-second pitch clock.
Oh, okay, shit.
So, I mean, you can see with the way that things are coming that it's going to happen, but I think you're going to have a lot of pushback from your Major League Baseball purists, you know, the older generation and the older players and stuff like that. But it's coming. It's just, it's going to take a while.
I'm totally with you 100%. I mean, I love the fact that baseball still is, you know, America's most pure sport. Even though they've instilled the instant replay and so on and coming up, you know, the pitcher's clock and all that stuff. But the only thing about the real positive about NL going to DH is when it's American League, National League, and you're an American League team in a National League park, because you're taking away your starting pitcher. Basically, like we saw today, Tanaka was out in the fifth.
Right.
When, I mean, he wasn't pitching great. He had given up 3 runs, and that was the 3 runs that won the game. But, I mean, he still had, you know, probably 2 more innings in it.
Yeah, but it's all about – I mean, that's what I love about the World Series is – and I'm not just saying that just to throw it out there. Hey, we've been to 4 World Series in the last 15 years, whatever.
That's exactly what you did.
Yeah, well, I just said that. now I'm being a facetious ass. But that's the thing, like, you know, when it comes to the World Series is the amount of the moves and the chess pieces and thinking ahead and stuff like that.
You have to be more strategic.
You have to be more strategic in how you do that, because you can blow out your bullpen.
That is very interesting.
You can blow your bullpen out by the fifth inning.
Yeah.
It's
something that, you know, I think we all can agree it's going to happen. And, you know, I personally like the like you said, the
differentiation.
Yes, between the two leagues. Thank you. I haven't done a podcast since last week, so I'm off my game.
What was it off of Anchorman when he was like when he's like going through and just saying absolute nonsense?
The first one?
Yeah, on the first one. He's like, the blind sheep has 4 mice.
Oh, yeah. the human torch was denied a bank loan. Unique New York. Unique New York. Yeah, I should have did more of a vocal warm-up. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Take another drink,
Tom. Yeah, right? I'm actually drinking water tonight. Thank you. Upcoming series for the Yankees, we've got the Minnesota Twins and Seattle Mariners, basically the leaders of April in the American League, coming into Yankee Stadium.
There's going to be a lot of home runs hit that series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, but that's the thing, and you guys were talking about Seattle's hot start. It's like, where the hell did this come from? But I guess in their defense, they haven't played in Seattle very much, have they not?
I don't think they have. Well, they started off in Tokyo at the Dome.
Yeah,
but for the who do they even have on their team? Corey Seager, and that's it. Not Corey Seager, Kyle Seager.
Yeah, I was gonna say Corey's on the Dodgers.
Yeah, they've actually had a really good farm system too, and they're starting to get the benefits of that now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I mean they had Cano, and he went to the Mets. So,
do you think of Seattle as a small market team?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you're, I mean, your big market teams are your New York, your Boston's, your
Dodgers, your
any LA team. I even consider Anaheim a big market team.
Yeah, I guess I can get Chicago. And then
both Chicago teams. Those are your big market teams. Just because the media is so heavy there.
So do they not have really, do you think that they really have a mid tier and then you have your low tiers like your Tampa's and Kansas City and St.
Louis? Yeah, I think I
mean, you know what pisses me off the most though is as we're talking about this as we're talking about this mid market team and major market team. Have you ever been to a St. Louis Cardinals game and it's not been sold out?
I've never been to Busch Stadium. I've been to Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City.
Anytime even when you're watching there, they average no less than 30,000 fans a game.
Yeah,
and they're considered
it's always packed.
And they're considered a small market team and they don't ever spend their money. Where their owners obviously are pocketing a shit ton of money.
They have to be because Robert, you know as well as I do, because you talk to a lot of Cardinals fans because that's where we are, but you know, they always want to gripe about our teams spending buying money. Our championships.
Yeah. It's just like the Braves.
But like I say all the time, you know, if your owners would go out and spend the fucking money, you wouldn't take it.
We're spending more on luxury tax than what the Tampa Bay Rays are spending on their entire payroll.
Yep.
Speaking of Tampa, and they were playing Kansas City today. They had about 500 people in Kauffman Stadium today.
Well, it's a fucking AAA game, basically.
It was brutal. Coming out of April, who is the most surprising divisional leader?
Tampa, for me.
No. They won 90 games last year.
I know.
Yeah, but their pitching staff, they lost a couple pitchers. I didn't see them having this hot at the start.
Who do you think,
Think
Robert?
About it, though. They have the reigning Cy Young. They have – well, I'm looking at it, the division standings. That way I can kind of – go off of that, but you know, I don't think Tampa's a surprise by any stretch because they have the reigning Cy Young. They picked up Charlie Morton, Stanek's there. You know, honestly, I would probably, if I were to bet, St. Louis with a 19-10 record.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. We talked about that last week. We were talking about who, you know, who has the toughest division. So.
It's got to be the NL Central right now.
It really has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we both finally agreed on that last week, Josh, that it's the NL Central.
Yeah, it's a very tight division.
I think if I were to pick a two, I would probably say the Twins.
Yeah.
They're at 17-10.
Yeah, that's definitely surprising.
But that's the same way. That division, it's the Twins, the White Sox, and the Tigers almost every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than the last few years when the Royals were involved in it.
The White Sox are about 2 years away. Detroit, I don't see them progressing anymore. I see Cleveland falling off a cliff. Right now, I think you're looking at Minnesota and the White Sox probably competing over the next few years until Cleveland. Because Cleveland, when they were doing all their when they were doing the World Series run, they got rid of a lot of their farm system. And their farm system wasn't that great to begin with.
Yeah, the White Sox actually have a pretty good farm system coming up.
So you think? So you think St. Louis is the biggest surprise then?
I think they haven't made the playoffs for the last 3 years.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, that is true. I didn't think about it like that.
So with the Dodgers being 20-12 and Tampa and St. Louis having a better win percentage, out of the three, who is the best team of April?
Tampa.
Yeah, I would say Tampa too.
Tampa's at a +40 run differential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I 100% agree. I think I think Tampa's the biggest surprise just because I think that everybody expected more out of the Yankees and the Red Sox coming into this year.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I certainly did.
Being riddled with injury and pitching not being up to par, and you know all that stuff. So I mean, it's not really a surprise because, like you said, they did win 90 games last year.
How would that make you feel as a fan? Which Tampa only has six true fans in their entire organization, but Like, how would that make you feel as a fan or an organization to know that typically on a typical year, 90 wins is going to get you in the playoffs, and you don't even freaking make the playoffs?
In basically any other division, yes.
Yeah, that's...
Because, I mean, which in all honesty, I think we all agree that the AL East is the toughest.
I mean, it's a gauntlet. Neither one of us can beat Baltimore, so what does it really matter?
And we play, it seems like we play them every week.
That's very true.
So,
I mean, nothing like getting swept by the worst team in baseball.
Yeah. Well, then the Royals are kind of a toss up.
Yeah.
Well, if it makes you, even if it makes you feel any better, we gave up Chris Davis's first hit of the season for the last nine months.
True.
He got it off of us.
He was a topic last week, and I was just glad it didn't happen to us.
I guess too.
So, with the Dodgers being talked about, Cody Bellinger, best April start ever, leads the Dodgers and most of Major League Baseball in every offensive category, minus games played, doubles, triples, and strikeouts, which you never want to lead the strikeout category unless you're a pitcher.
That honestly is not a surprise to me, because he came up with the Dodgers when they did what was it, two seasons ago, when they lost to the Cubs in the division?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And
he was 2 or 3 years ago.
He was a great rookie, and then he had the sophomore slump. But for some reason, I feel like I read something that he was struggling with a hip injury. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
So, and that kind of hampers a lot of his production and a lot of that other stuff that's going on.
It fucks
so,
up your swing.
Yeah,
big absolutely. Time. So I think that might have some to do with it, and I think he just came in prepared and worked hard in the offseason, and it's paying dividends.
I would agree. He's definitely killing it. He's had probably the best April that I can remember in quite some time.
Hey, he's no Mark Teixeira, speaking of Aprils.
I mean, that's
my
true.
My God,
true.
That, Teixeira couldn't buy a fucking hit in April. It was tough to watch. Okay, he Robert, was. Moving on to the Red Sox. They're 14-17. They got the win today, swept the Oakland A's, and they're 6 games back in the AL East. Is the World Series hangover real?
I mean, here's the thing. I was thinking about this because, you know, you sent out the list of topics, and I was thinking about this. The Dodgers have made 2 straight World Series. In this day and time in baseball, 162 games, and then, you know, you've got to win, what is it, 14 to get to the, is it 14?
Yeah.
No, yeah, 14 games if you're in the wild card, or 15 games if you're in the wild card. So the possibility of, you know, 7, you know, the division's 5, so 7, 14. So the possibility of 22 games, so that's 184 games, mm-hmm. if you think about it, if you go the distance. That's a shit ton of baseball.
Yeah.
And it's not like football where you have, you know, a week off in between.
No, you get 27 days off a year for baseball. If there's – you get basically one day a week off, and the season's 27 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So you get 27 – you get 27 days off, not including if you have a doubleheader and the games get rained out, et cetera. But, I mean, it's got to be tough. I mean, for the Dodgers, they even make it to 2 World Series in a row. I mean, that's a testament. But if you remember, the Dodgers also started super, super slow last season.
Right, that's true.
And I mean, and then the Astros got off to a slow start. So, I mean, I think a lot of it is just kind of how you deal with it. And the way that Alex Cora dealt with it last year, Alex Cora did similar things with the pitching staff last spring that he did this spring.
Yeah.
To try to keep the pitchers fresh at the end of the year. Like, he barely pitched Chris Sale at all. Because the first year we had Chris Sale, he was basically fatigued and his arm gave out on him by the end of the season and wasn't any good. So I think the World Series hangover, as far as, like, if you're wanting to put a name on it, it is real. I mean, because, I mean, you play a month longer than everybody else. You don't have a month to relax. And then you got to do all the media appearances and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think it, you know, the players were just tired. And I think once they kind of get in the groove of things and work everything out and the pitching staff gets going like they're supposed to. Well, I don't think we put together a complete game between pitching and or between offense and defense. We haven't put a complete game together. And that's what Alex Cora said the other day is, you know, if the bats are going, the pitching sucks. If the pitching sucks, the bats are going. And, I mean, you've got to put it together.
You have to be pumping on all cylinders. And that's the case with a lot of teams right now. It seems to be one or the other. There's no maybe the Dodgers are the closest thing to a complete team as of right now, I think. But
I would agree with that.
But as far as everybody else, it seems like it's one or the other.
Usually it's and this is kind of how I feel. Usually the offense takes advantage of the pitching early on in the season, and as the dog days of summer drag on, the pitching takes over and all that. So I think that's kind of indicative, but I just didn't see, you know, Chris Sale being 0-6 with a 6-point something ERA.
And that'll change. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, it's going to change. He's a dominant elite pitcher. It'll change.
If he gets his velocity back, because his velocity isn't what it's always been for some reason, and losing a volley is going to hurt him too.
It's back up to where it was, but, I mean, it's still not, you know, the most impressive stuff he has. But, you know, I don't know if it's the spring training and them not pitching as many innings, if they didn't do as much side work. I mean, I don't know.
And the season's starting earlier now. The season starts almost 2 weeks earlier than it used to.
Yeah.
Because it used to start, you know, right around, you know, wrestling reference, right around WrestleMania time. Now it's starting literally 2 weeks before. Because I think outside of the Tokyo series, it started right around, what, March 26th?
Yeah, because I think the Tokyo series was like March 17th.
Yeah, something
or
like that. It was super early, like maybe the 21st, maybe. I mean, I could see where, you know, like we were talking about, the hangover could be real for the World Series. And I think, too, the fact that the way baseball is lined out now with, you know, every team seems to have that one true bright spotlight superstar. There's not as many teams with, you know, three or four guys in the lineup that are going to hit, you know, 40 home runs or whatever. And or a pitching staff that, you know, you got your top three guys or even four guys that are going out and pitching lights out every week or every start. So I think the whole thing about maybe a baseball dynasty is kind of a thing of the past.
I would agree. It's much harder to do in baseball, I feel like.
And I feel like these lower tier and middle tier, you know, markets, I think, you know, they're starting to see at some point we have to start spending money or people aren't going to come to watch the games.
Right.
Baseball is one of those things. Like, you, a lot of times whenever, you know, just in general conversation, as you hear people or you kind of conversate, it's like, I'd much rather go to a baseball than watch it on TV. Or
every conversation I ever have about baseball.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that it's with the MLB network, which makes things great for people like you and I to watch our favorite teams because they're so far away. It's cheaper to buy MLB, the MLB network or whatever. What is it? The MLB extra
MLB, MLB TV.
Yeah, it's cheaper to buy that package at $199 and watch all 160, well, minus the Kansas City games and the Ranger games.
because that's all we get.
Which, to be honest with you, we need to talk about that one day, too, about the fucking blackout.
Oh, man.
Like, seriously, who the fuck thought of that?
You want to talk about grinding my fucking gears.
This
is a phone call that I made when Bud Selig was still commissioner. I fucking called his office and talked to the guy under him about the blackout restrictions on Saturday because Fox had the rights to it. I said, well, if you're not showing it in my fucking market, how is it restricted in my fucking area? I'm paying $119 a year to watch the fucking Yankees, and I can't watch it because they're on Fox on the fucking East Coast. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it's a it is.
Clock turned off the air.
But I can watch it 6 hours after, you know, it's over.
Right.
When somebody, some asshole's already ruined it for me or made me look up the fucking score.
Yeah.
Robert.
This is quite funny too. So people in Iowa cannot watch Cubs games, but they can watch Milwaukee Brewers.
Which is
games.
Fucking stupid. And why are the Cubs not blacked out here? We get a ton of Cubs.
What's even more stupid about that is their fucking AAA team is in Iowa.
Yes, the AAA Cubs. But yeah, the Cubs, if you live in Iowa, you cannot watch the Chicago Cubs.
Maybe that's why.
That's
unless it's on.
Maybe that's why, because they're AAA teams there.
Yeah, but that's so stupid.
It's considered Milwaukee's market.
Yeah, that okay. Yeah, that's kind of stupid then. I didn't think about it that
That's absolutely fucking stupid. Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason to anything. I think they just make shit up.
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with media rights. And now that there's so many of these networks.
Well, yeah, every team basically has their own network now. It really used to be just the Yankees and the Red Sox, pretty much.
Well, and the Braves, because they got Turner.
Well, I mean, yeah, but then you could say the same with the Cubs, because they had WGN. That was national. But, I mean, you know, the Yankees have the YES Network, which you can get on DirecTV now. And the Red Sox have YESN. And, you know, everybody has everything now. And the Cubs don't even really play on WGN all that much anymore. They play on Comcast.
I don't even think they do. No, I don't even think they do.
Once in a while they'll play on WGN. Like, I think they have, like, a certain block of games they have to play on WGN a year just because. But it's not as, you know, because I remember being a kid and having WGN and, you know, when Harry Carey was calling the games, I'd fucking watch it just to listen to him.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
The old, he was blitzed by the sixth inning.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And as a kid, it made it even better. That's what made it good. Game. Oh, this guy going on a racist rant.
I love Scott.
If this guy wins 20 games this year, I'm a Chinaman. Shit like that. He would actually say shit like that. Robert, where do you see the Red Sox after the series with the White Sox and Baltimore this weekend and next week?
So we won 8 of 12 games. We lost 2 to Tampa and we lost 2 to Detroit. So the White Sox and the Orioles actually played a doubleheader today. So I think that kind of bodes well for us. I think we – what is it? So it's – what is today? So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So 4 games with
the White Sox. Yeah, 4 games with Chicago and then 3 with Baltimore.
I think we should probably take – I don't know. We'll probably split with – I don't know. Probably go 3-4 over that – or 4-3 over that series.
So you're being optimistic.
I mean, the Red Sox fan in me screams that we should be going on a little mini winning streak here.
Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised. And we're due. You know, being a Yankees fan, I want to see you go 0-7. But I wouldn't be surprised to see you guys go 5-2 in this whole stretch.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, that would put us 8-2 over the last 10. Yeah. So it's plausible. Like I said, I think we're due. Chris Sale's, I feel like he's finally turning the corner. So he's going to get at least another, I think he'll get a start in the series this weekend.
Listen to me not try to be Michael Kay on YES.
What, supporting the other team? Yeah. I heard that rant too.
Oh, God. Dude, it fucking aggravates me.
Yes,
but am I not right, Robert?
I think
that. Were you not right on that? Like, if it's your network, shouldn't you be a little biased?
Yes and no. I mean, as it being your network, yes, you're solely supposed to be commentating on the Yankees. But as a fan, if I'm tuning in and there's nothing else on baseball wise, I already know a lot about the Yankees.
Right.
Maybe not tell me something about the Seattle Mariners that I don't know.
I mean, I don't want them to sit there and blow them the whole game. But it's like, you know, my whole thing was the home run call. That was mainly my thing.
Yeah.
If you've got to be more excited when the Yankees hit a home run than say, you know, Seattle or Boston, even especially Boston, like that.
Yeah, but that's just his thing. Even on every home run, at least he's consistent. It's not like he's like going out of the way to be like, see ya.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his
thing. I don't know. I'd be like, and see ya. Boston's up 1-0.
Yeah, I wouldn't sell.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. You don't have to go over the top. That's all I'm saying. All right, another one of.
But it also.
Oh, go ahead.
It also shows that he's an unbiased announcer, which is what I want to see.
More unbiased,
regardless
than ESPN.
Of the situation. Yes, God.
I refuse to watch a game on ESPN unless I absolutely have to.
Oh well, I refuse to listen to Joe. I refuse to listen to Joe Buck during the World Series.
Oh God, can we?
I swear, it doesn't matter. The entire world's when we played the Astros last in the playoffs, you would have thought Alex Bregman could fuck any woman he wanted to just by looking at him and impregnate her from across the room.
He's no Derek Jeter.
Yeah, he's not the captain. So,
but I mean, seriously, it seems like every World Series, he.
Yeah.
I'd rather listen to my asshole sing the blues than listen to Joe Buck call a baseball game.
I don't actually mind him during football though. For some reason, I don't know.
Well, you got Troy Aikman there to kind of balance him out because Troy Aikman is not an alcoholic too.
Well, yeah,
he's got to be.
He's not a Joe Namath alcoholic. No offense, Tommy.
Come on, man.
I want to kiss you.
It's been long enough. Let it go. Poor Broadway Joe. I'm never gonna live that down.
I could kiss you right now. Let me kiss you.
Like you wouldn't have. Come on, Susie Colbert, get out of here.
I mean, I would have kissed her too. I mean, Susie Colbert.
Yeah,
I can't anymore. I can't think.
Right? Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Yeah, but you still think like that. You just don't say.
Right. Until she listens to the podcast because Robert was on, and then she's like, "Oh, really? Susie Colbert?"
Yeah, she already wants to know the link. Yeah, I don't even know who Susie Colbert is.
She's Googling Susie Colbert right now as she's listening to it. She's like, "Who the fuck is this bitch?"
I'm gonna cut this bitch.
Okay, so Robert asked this question to me. You know, I'd like to send out, you know, ideas for topics because I can't do it by myself. It's not just my show. It's everybody's show. The opener as a fist starter, is Tampa onto something or is it a fad?
At the start of the season, I was like, it's stupid, but now that it's kind of working for them.
They did it last year too, didn't they?
Towards the end of the season, I believe. Once
Colorado started that. You remember when Colorado did the six pitchers and they weren't pitching any more than five
innings? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I don't remember, that's
kind of a spur, but you'll see it a lot more in college.
Well, and we saw it last week when the Yankees played the Angels. The Angels did it too.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more common.
Well, I mean, a lot of teams want to get off to a fast start. Mm-hmm. I mean, the chances of you roughing up the starting pitcher, you want to get the starting pitcher out of there as quick as possible.
That's the way I've always seen it. Especially, like, if it's a Yankees-Red Sox series, both sides, we want to get the starters out.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you want to get into the bullpen and tax their bullpen for the next two games. But
yeah, we definitely want to get to the Red Sox bullpen.
Yeah, we suck, too. I don't know where I was going with that. But history tells you three times through the lineup, and you should – pull that pitcher.
Yeah.
Because history tells you the batting average goes
he's going to get beat
considerably
up.
Because they've seen, you know, if they went through the lineup three times already, pitcher's probably pitched about 80 to 90 pitches.
Yeah.
Pushing that 100 mark. Yep. So he's tired now. So now that fourth time through, they've already seen on average at least 12 pitches. So their timing's synced up. Everything's synced up. I mean, these guys are professionals. This is what they do for a living.
You know, it's funny because you don't see many pitchers even hit that 100 anymore.
It's rare.
Yeah, most pitchers have about like a 75 to 80 pitch count.
You know, 5 years ago, if your starter didn't throw 100 pitches, you know, they were wasted.
Yeah.
I can remember back in the 90s, it was you wanted your pitcher to get to at least the seventh inning.
Yeah. And I remember, late 90s, I remember seeing more pitchers hit 120.
What is it, a quality start? Is it five innings and less than three runs or six innings less than three runs?
Less than three runs. Three runs or less.
So, I mean, I would be curious, even if maybe one of the listeners is a math nerd or something like that that wants to do that, but I would be curious to see what the levels of quality starts have went and probably since this whole middle reliever thing kind of got started with Andrew Miller. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever it was, and having that Super Bowl pin.
That's some good homework.
I'd be
curious
to see that.
Yeah, it's
to see where that quality start is, if that number has went down, which to me, I think it probably has.
I would agree. I would definitely think it's went down.
The thing I think about the opener, though, you know, the whole thing, you know, you brought up the word fad. What it reminds me of a lot right now in today's baseball, the last 4 or 5 years, the shift, playing against the shift as a hitter.
Oh, God, I'm so sick of the
like,
shift.
Like, can you not just slap the ball the other way? Like, I remember bringing up Mark Teixeira.
You get in trouble
for
that.
The whole fucking third base side is open. Lay down the fucking bunt, dude. You can walk to first.
Now, I read something the other day that they had four outfielders.
Yeah. That's basically what it is.
Well, I mean, it's a fucking softball game.
That's how they play Judge and Stanton every time they bat.
Well, I was saying more so that they had four, like, legitimate outfielders, not like the guy that moved over to play second or in between. But they had legitimate four outfielders. So, but here's something else for you, too, is who was it? And then I seen it in the news. They pulled the pitcher, moved the pitcher over to first base. They brought in another pitcher. That pitcher got one out. They moved the guy, that the pitcher that was over at first base, back to the mound to finish the rest of that.
What? Yeah. Was that Major League Baseball?
I believe so. It was either – I'm pretty sure it was Major League Baseball.
I'm literally my face is in fucking awe right now.
Is that even legal?
Yeah, it's legal.
Yeah, because he's – as long as
– I guess, yeah.
He's going to a position, so it'd have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they pulled him – they pulled him as a pitcher, put him at first base, took the first baseman out, brought in another pitcher. So, I mean, essentially, it's a double switch.
Yeah, move the pitcher back from first to the pitcher's mound, bring in another first baseman. So, the first baseman that was in before obviously can't come back in.
Correct. How are they going to be looking for first basemen that can pitch now if it's a farm system?
I mean, you see position players in a fucking blowout, but...
Yeah, but no, that's they moved the pitcher over to first
base.
That's
insane. And I gotta look that shit up.
Yeah, I have to look that up. I didn't see that.
I'm about 90% certain it was professional or MLB, but it may have been college. But I'm pretty sure it was MLB.
I could even see him maybe doing it in the minors, but not in the bigs.
I want to say it was like Milwaukee or maybe even Tampa.
Yeah, that sounds like something Milwaukee would do. Those sketchy motherfuckers.
Yeah, I can see Milwaukee definitely doing that.
But no, to kind of circle around, I mean, I think if you don't have a legit fifth starter, the starting the closer to begin the game does make kind of sense.
No, I mean, I can see it working. It's just a matter
and of – and use him in the middle.
It's a matter of you're taxing your bench because you have to carry more of a bullpen.
Well, and that's the thing is if that – so say, for instance, you know, they get absolutely shellacked on day three and day four and their bullpen shot. Now you're asking those pitchers to go out on the fifth. And I mean, it basically the same thing almost happened with the Red Sox in the World Series against the Dodgers. Whenever we used all of our pitchers in what was it, game two of that 15-inning game when Eovaldi went so many innings.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have legitimately had we – if we would have won that game, it would have been great. But for Price to come back in game three or whatever,
that's another thing, too. That was the only time that a fucking pitcher has got a standing ovation in a losing effort.
Yeah.
I mean, that was.
He pitched his ass off.
Yeah. We talked about him last week. I loved him when he was with the Yankees. I hated to see him go.
I did too.
I mean, that just shows fucking grit and balls to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be a big loss, I think, going forward for the Red Sox throughout the summer months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they said last year that they predicted it to be 4 to 6 weeks when he had the same thing done, but it ended up being like 2.5 months. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's early yet. We're not even to the trade deadline. So, you know, they could make some moves.
We don't have a fucking farm team. Yeah, but we don't have any way to make trades.
Figure something out. Scratch a little cash off the top, you know, slipping some.
Willin' and Dylan Dave Dombrowski.
All right, so the Mets, they didn't last long at the top, but they're still close. Any chance that they stick around?
First off, let me ask you this question.
What's up?
How do you feel about Robinson Cano being across
town? I don't like it.
I fucking hate it.
Okay, let me just clarify this. Okay, first of all, when he took on Jay-Z as his agent, Jay-Z is supposed to be a Yankees fan, right? How the fuck do you let Robinson Cano, one of your best up-and-coming players, which, I mean, at that point he was solidified, but how do you let him go to Seattle?
Because he's a bigger fan of fucking money than the Yankees.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he won a World Series.
What did we get with Robinson Cano going away? Who did we sign to a big money contract? Jacoby fucking Ellsbury. He's done absolutely nothing.
You're welcome.
And he's probably had maybe 50 at bats and we're paying him out the fucking ass.
Just eat it and let it go. We gotta eat it and let it go.
Oh,
you're welcome.
So, in all honesty, I mean, do you see the Mets doing? Do you see them getting a wild card? Could they win the division? Because I mean, the Phillies did go out and spend a lot of money.
I think they'll hang around the wild card. I don't know that they'll win the wild card, but I think they'll hover around that, maybe 3 to 5 games around it. Because they got a great pitching staff. I will say that for them.
It depends on their big three pitchers. If they can stay healthy.
Yeah.
What is it? Who's the three? Thor, the other guy, Syndergaard.
Yeah. No, so
that's Syndergaard. And then what's the DeGrom? And then what's the other one? Wheeler?
Wheeler.
If those three can stay healthy and consistent throughout the entire season, I think they stand a chance. Because right now, the Phillies don't have all the pieces.
Yeah.
The Braves, I think, kind of blew their figurative load and bringing those kids up.
Way to clean it up for the kids, Robert.
Yeah. And they somehow convinced him to take way less money than they would have got paid on the open market to sign and stay Brave.
I think the Braves, I don't know. The Braves are a catch 22 with me. If there is ever a National League team that I want to pull for, it's the Braves.
I'm with you 100%, man.
Yeah. I have, like, all my friends are Braves fans. So, you know, that's like here in Tennessee, that's, I guess, who you grew up for the most part being fans of is the fucking Braves. So I have to hear that shit daily.
Well, you know, and growing up, if you're a WCW fan, they're on the Turner Network. So you had to kind of report anyways. Because you were waiting for that fucking game to get over so you could watch WCW Saturday night at 6:05.
Yeah. I've definitely watched a lot of Braves games in my time waiting for that. Yeah.
But that, I think, honestly, that NL East is going to come down to a three-team race. I really think it's going to be between those three. I don't think –
You don't think the Nats will do anything?
It's crazy to see it because, you know, there was a lot more people. There was actually people picking the Nationals to win the division.
Yeah,
based on those three pitchers, which I don't know what Patrick. I haven't really followed the Nationals without Bryce Harper being on there, but they thought that the biggest signing of the offseason before Harper and Machado was Patrick Corbin going to. Was it Corbin? No, you guys got Corbin. No, you got Patrick.
Yeah, he went to the Nats.
Yeah,
but they said that was one of the biggest signings of the offseason, and I haven't really.
No. He went to the Phillies.
No, Corbin went to the. National.
Okay, yeah. It was between those three. I remembered that. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So they were actually picking the Nationals based on those three pitchers.
And they're not terrible.
No, they're not.
I mean, they're not great.
I think they're, you know, definitely the fourth dog in the pack, but.
Well, they've got what? Rendon or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's not Michael Taylor. What's their Trey Turner? And then they got Juan Soto? Is it Juan?
I believe.
The 19-year-old, he was 19 or whatever last year and just kind of.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
So, I mean, they have the pieces, but I just don't, I just think it's that, I think you can win 88 games and win that division.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be a tight race between those three teams all season. Yeah, I don't see one team.
I'd say 86 being, to 90 wins that division.
Yeah, I don't see one team being that much better than anyone else. They're going to get like a big lead in the division.
Somebody's going to have to get super, super hot to really pull away.
Yeah.
Well, the Phillies, I think, the Phillies have the farm system to trade.
Yeah.
So I think when it's all said and done with, I think it's the Phillies division. I mean, I think they're ahead of schedule, but I don't think here's the thing. I like Bryce Harper because I think he's good for baseball. I mean, he's legit superstar. Any kid that's on the Sports Illustrated cover at age 16 and then comes into the major leagues and did what he did. I mean, he single-handedly him. I mean, there were other pieces, obviously, because they had Strasburg at the time. And then Scherzer came on.
Yeah.
But he single-handedly turned the face of that franchise around because when they came from the Expos, they were awful.
It was bad.
Yeah,
I think from the time they became the Nationals until Bryce Harper came on, well, maybe even Steven Strasburg. I watched a couple of games. I've watched a total of 5 games.
I've always, yeah, I think I've always been a big fan of Ryan Zimmerman. I mean, that guy was probably he was kind of like Mike Sweeney with the Royals. Very dedicated, very loyal, was staying with that team. And you know, he's always batting 275 with, you know, 25 to 30 home runs, consistent. Not Joey Votto.
Exactly. Very consistent player.
Yeah. But I mean, I've kind of felt bad for him because I mean, he had plenty of opportunity. I mean, there's any major league team that would have took him when he was in his prime, but you know, it was just, you know, Bryce Harper single-handedly changed that organization.
So moving from Bryce Harper, now we go on to another player that people say is the greatest player in Major League Baseball right now, Mike Trout. He's in the top 100 now in WAR.
Pulled up here, so it's showing who he and he's 27 years old, so he's been in the league for what, figuratively 6 years.
Yeah.
So these are the names that he's passed. Let me double check and make sure. So Mike Trout started the season with 64.2 career WAR. So here's who he's about to pass: Willie McCovey, Andre Dawson, Craig Biggio. Which that name surprises me.
Yeah.
Leon Goslin or Goose Goslin. Pee Wee Reese. Joe Cronin, which I'm not familiar. I know obviously he's a Hall of Famer, but I don't know. He played for the Senators, so he's pretty old.
Before our time.
Duke Snider. So Roberto Alomar would be the next person that he passes. So these are the names that he's about to pass.
And there's some big names in that.
He's at 66.7. So he's passed all of those. So the next ones on the list are Roberto Alomar, Ernie Banks, Fred Clark, Ryan Sandberg, and Edgar Martinez, which just got into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So that's nuts.
That is nuts.
So these are all Hall of Famers that he's already passed by the age of 27 and wins above replacement.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's.
I see the love affair that Major League Baseball has with him.
He's a stat stuffer.
Yeah. I just don't know. I just don't see him having like the same charisma as like a Ken Griffey Jr. to like be the face of baseball.
Yeah, I don't think he does have that kind of charisma. He's just, you know, a very humble.
Right, and it was the same with, you know, Derek Jeter. He didn't really have that, you know, he's very, you know, calm and cool and collective, like with the media and stuff. He wasn't over the top. And when I think of a face of baseball, I think of somebody who is going to pull in ratings and put asses in seats because they're charismatic.
So you would say, so right now, if you were to pick, and I'll throw mine out first, and I think probably figuratively both of you would probably come close to agreeing. Right now, the face of the baseball would be Bryce Harper.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
I don't know if I would consider him the best, you know, player overall, but I definitely think he, you know, the way he came into the league, and like you said, being on Sports Illustrated when he was 16.
Best personality.
He's making waves now in Philadelphia. You know, he's getting more media coverage in Philadelphia that they haven't had in 10 years when they played the Yankees in the World Series.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Do you remember last All-Star break when the All-Star game was in Anaheim? And Rob Manfred said that the Angels don't do enough to market Mike Trout.
And I agree with that.
Manfred wants Mike Trout to be the face of baseball. He's quiet. He stays out of trouble. He doesn't mouth off to the media. He's good with the kids.
Yeah.
But and that's who it should be. I'm just saying, in baseball's past, it's always that loudmouth or, you know, whatever. Like, A-Rod was making headlines, being a fucking bonehead. And
fuck boy.
But A-Rod wasn't the face.
Yeah.
I
love A-Rod.
And I can agree with you guys to this sense. Derek Jeter, the last 10 years of his career, was the face of baseball. Hands down, no doubt about it.
Everybody knew who he was.
Correct. But he wasn't like a rock star. I mean, he wasn't
He didn't make the most amount of money.
He was a rock star, but he was more quiet about it. Because, I mean, it came out later about the gift baskets and all that shit, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that's some pretty heavy rock star shit, but...
Yeah.
I mean, he was quiet about it. He knew how to do it without being, like, A-Rod, a fucking idiot about it.
Right.
Do you think if Jeter were on any other team... So, I remember before he signed with the Yankees, which I knew it was going to be inevitable. Yeah. There was actually talk about the Red Sox actually offered him
I remember that because that was when we were friends. When his contract came and they started posting pictures of him in different uniforms and talking about how weird
he actually got offered. He got offered a contract by the Red Sox because he ended up signing with the Yankees, I think, a 2-year contract.
Yep.
And then he may have signed another one after that, but I think that was after his. What was he out for? Did he like tear his Achilles or something?
Yeah, it was
like that?
A hamstring or his Achilles or something. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But he was out for basically three quarters.
It was almost the full season. Yeah.
And then that was the year that he batted like .230.
Yeah, it was by far the worst year.
Yeah.
So the Red Sox offered him a contract. But what I'm getting at, do you think had Derek Jeter been in another uniform, would he still be the face of
baseball?
I
would have quit watching baseball, so I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, that's hard.
Well, I'm saying.
I know. I'm
saying hypothetical.
Yeah.
Had Derek Jeter, and he put up all these amazing numbers, and you know was a great person for baseball. But had he been in another uniform, so say he was in a Kansas City Royals uniform.
I knew
you were
gonna say that. I could feel it coming. No, I don't.
Well,
I don't.
Yeah, I don't think
because
he was in
a big market, and they're not gonna put. They're not going to put that stamp of you're the face of baseball, basically. And they do kind of do that. Every sport does. Whether you're the best player overall or not, they kind of lean, whether it's national games being played, like with NBA, you know, nobody remembered 10 years ago that the Golden State Warriors were a fucking team.
Yeah, they suck.
Now everybody's Golden State Warriors.
And
fans.
Now everybody's a fan. One of my kids is a basketball person, and that's all he wants is Golden State Warrior stuff. And I'm like, no, go with the underdog. They do it however they want to do it. Every professional, it's the same with wrestling even. You know, it's who they want you to like is who is going to be the face of that sport.
Yeah.
So do you think if they put the effort into marketing – Mike Trout, could he potentially be
absolutely because like I said earlier Anaheim is a big market team. They just don't want to put enough, and I mean he's got the MLB Network commercial and all that. I mean you see him quite a bit, the Topps commercial with Big Sloppy, as he's affectionately known in my house, Big Sloppy,
but we haven't seen that much of his personality to really know how well he would.
So my whole thing is they need to put more marketing behind him, but also they need to put another piece in that team to draw more eyes to it.
They have it with Shohei Ohtani.
Well, I mean, he's not there right now, is what I mean, is right now and today. But and when he comes back, yeah.
But they tried to surround him with Albert Pujols in the twilight of his career. They tried to surround him with Josh Hamilton.
Yeah.
It just didn't work. Yeah. But, I mean, here's the thing. This is the thing, though. Think about it. He's been the AL MVP twice or three times. I think it's twice, right?
Yeah,
two or three times. I don't.
And he's finished in the top three the other four times or whatever.
Oh yeah, definitely.
All but his rookie year.
Right.
How can he not be the face of baseball? It just absolutely miffs me. And look, I like Bryce Harper just as much as I like Mike Trout. Obviously, Mike Trout is a very good player because he broke all major sports records.
And he's a great outfielder, too.
Yeah, he is. Bryce does more to get more attention, though. That's like last week he gave the Philly Fanatic a custom pair of cleats.
Okay, let's go back to basketball then. Let's put it into perspective. So would you say Mike Trout is more of the Steph Curry to Bryce Harper's LeBron James?
That's kind of hard to say. I mean, Seth Curry is basically the face of basketball.
That's what I'm saying.
Basketball's different, though.
It is, but I'm using it as an example.
I got a better analogy. I think Bryce is LeBron and Mike Trout is the Greek freak.
Yeah, okay. That's very close. I can agree with that. But the thing about it is that's large market LA, small market Milwaukee. So there's really no reason why LA can't market him that way. I get the whole natural growth of it, because Derek Jeter kind of did the same thing with the natural growth, and it was platonic, and it was natural. Pure. He wasn't trying. It just happened.
Yeah. Maybe
let's wrap this up. So let's say it this way. So we feel, basically in a nutshell, MLB is pushing too hard.
Yeah, I think
when Manfred stepped in, he obviously pushed too hard.
Because I say that because, you know, we talked about this last week or the week before, whenever that was, Josh. We said baseball is, you can kindly slowly seeing that younger generation steer more away from baseball.
Right. I do think if Mike Trout was a Dodger, he would be a superstar. I think that the Angels are kind of like the Clippers, and the Dodgers are like the Lakers in the LA market.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that's a better analogy.
Thank you for bringing that light. I mean, I kind of didn't really think of it that way. Because, but even if he was in San Francisco, Dodgers, it'd still be the same way.
Yeah, the Dodgers are always going to outshine Anaheim just because they're more of a name.
Yeah, if he was a Dodger, I guarantee you he would be a way bigger star.
Man. Yeah, I agree.
Last topic. Want to talk about Robert Service time?
Yeah, let's just go ahead and throw that in there. So, my biggest thing and my biggest gripe with baseball is the service time. What is it? If a player in the minor accrues 1 year service time if he's on the major league roster on opening day. Mm-hmm. However, if they wait, 17 days?
18.
If they wait 18 days, that's 18 games. That's not even an eighth of the freaking season.
Yeah.
And it's considered, if they were on the major league roster on day 17, they accrue 1 year service time, which goes back to this whole thing with the players being under control of the team. It pisses me off to no end, because you get people like Chris Bryant. That was the one that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Mike Trout, the same thing happened with Mike Trout, too. He was ready. But Chris Bryant was ready to come to the major leagues. Bryce Harper was the same thing. He was ready to come to the major leagues. And they waited that 18 days so they could get an extra year of service time. So now, if the player is 23 years old, by the time that they hit free agency, they're 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that mean? So with them going to the younger generation and the younger talent, they're not going to invest in the older players.
Right.
So now it's become a revolving door like it is in the NFL. Say for instance, with the running backs, the likelihood of a running back being in a league longer than 4 years is, you know, like 90%.
Yeah,
because their body's trashed.
Yeah,
exactly. So now you're taking this player. Used to, the prime would be between 28 and 32 years old is what they considered. Well, 27 to 30, I think, is what they considered prime in baseball. And then they just fall off of a fucking cliff.
Yeah.
After that, so I get that. But how is that fair to the player? I mean, you can go through arbitration and you can be like Nolan Arenado and get $30 million in arbitration.
We talked about that last week with Aaron Judge and his rookie contract.
Yeah, he's making $644,000 this year.
It's not fair to the player.
No, it absolutely is not.
I don't feel that these players deserve $400 million, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is you have people like Arenado that signed the $30 million arbitration, or that's what he got ruled for. And then you had Josh Donaldson. You had Mookie Betts, which had a $17 million increase from last season to this season.
Mm-hmm. What's really crazy is Bryce Harper and Mike Trout's game check is almost more than Aaron Judge will make this whole fucking season.
But whose fault is that?
It's
baseball.
Yeah, it's baseball. Yeah,
you can almost, you know, attribute that to the Players Association.
They would be in a lockout for 3 years before
the owners would agree to that.
Absolutely. And that's the problem, is because they're like, okay, well, they're in their rookie contract, and we're gonna chew them up and spit them out for as long as we can before we have to pay them, if they're even still worth that kind of money.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing that in every sport now. Just look at pro football. It's the hot thing is to draft a good rookie quarterback, because you got them for basically nothing for
four years.
Then you stack the offense and the defense around them and win while they're on the rookie deal.
Yeah, it's like you're not building to any point. You're getting what you can get now.
So do you feel like there should be a caveat in there? Do you think the arbitration is working?
No.
Yeah, I don't really think.
I think rookie contracts should be shorter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think they should be 2 years.
Yeah, because what constitutes you still a rookie? How much service time are you still a rookie?
Yeah, but look at this instance though. You got the Braves kid, Acuña Jr. He just signed an extension to buy out all of his arbitration years. Eloy Jimenez with the next big up and coming outfielder that the White Sox have. So what prevents teams? And I think Harper got something similar, and I think Mike Trout got something similar. But why don't you see more players fighting for that? Like, you don't really see baseball players be like, fuck it, I'm going to sit out until I get what I want.
Yeah.
That shit don't happen in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got two this year. I mean, Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell are still sitting out.
No. Well, that's no fault of their own. This is something that I want to see. The reason why they did that was to prevent the Yankees and the Red Sox from spending a shit ton of money on good players from other teams. Because if you sign Dallas Keuchel or if you sign Craig Kimbrell, you lose a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's stupid, because you're preventing those decent players from getting a contract because you don't want to give up a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they may say this whole season out, because I don't know if any team will give a first round pickup.
Because everybody's trying to either build their farm system or keep their farm system, you know, to the maximum potential.
But you remember when that first came out after this last contract between the union and the owners, that was put in, and all the players were declining that qualifying offer. And I think the first player to do it was Colby Rasmus, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was the first one to take the qualifying offer, and they're like, well, he would command more on the open market. But now you're seeing those players more likely to take that qualifying offer than hit the free agent market and prolong that for 1 year, and then they can sign at the beginning of the season. So it kind of puts the player in a bad place.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Right, I think we should wrap it up for today.
Man, that was a fun conversation.
Yeah, we could probably go another day and a half talking about this, but
well, I kind of feel bad because I feel like I kind of like commanded the conversation.
Oh, no, that's why I wanted to bring you on. That's why I texted you and said, "Hey, I want you to come on." Because I mean,
I feel like Josh didn't get in as much words as I did, and I was just sitting there.
He said he said he was going to step back a bit. So,
who, Josh or me? Oh,
yeah.
I tried and I couldn't. I just got excited.
Josh is a good listener.
I am. I backed off my shit and let you get your shit in today. And next week I'll get my shit in.
I don't...
All right. So on that note, make sure you follow Joe out of the pen pod, because once again, somebody has out of the bullpen locked up on Twitter.
Still an asshole.
Make sure you subscribe, leave a review, all that good stuff. Follow me at Mr. Tommy Walter on Twitter.
Follow me at Mr. 30-something on Twitter.
And follow the best third wheel in the damn business at Robert Lemons on Twitter.
Hey, but if this does well, more permanently.
Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.